Good evening, everyone. This is Bill Crozier from KPFT in Houston, a member of the Pacific and National Board, calling this special meeting to order. This is a special meeting to deal with Pacifica's financial problems, and we're going to be giving out an email address that anybody listening to this can send us suggestions or questions also in just a bit. But let me go ahead and call the roll. I'll do it by stations. WBAI, who's here from WBAI?
Sean Rhodes.
Thanks, Sean. Who else from WBII? Can't hear anybody else if you're maybe muted. WPFW, anybody here from WPFW? Can't hear you. Does anybody from WPFW? KPFA? Can't hear anybody from KPFA. KPFK?
Grace Aaron.
Grace, thank you.
And Jonathan Alexander.
Hi, Jonathan. Anybody else from from KPFK? Okay. KPFT, I'm Bill Crozier. And anybody else join us that I missed? Okay, we may have some other people joining us in a bit. I did send out an invitation to all of the Pacifica National Board to join us. Normally we are on or at least since February, we're on a conference call where somebody from the board calls all of us and connects us up to the conference call. But we didn't get that call tonight, so we're switching to a different conference call service and streaming it so everybody can listen. And even though we don't have quorum for the PNB, we will be doing the same thing we announced it in advance. So we'll be talking about Pacifica's financial crisis and what we can do about it. Jonathan, would you like to go ahead and read from the most recent CFO report to the PNB? It was dated July 7th, just so people have an understanding of some of our major problems.
Sure. Get up here. Okay. This is from the CFO report to the PNB July 7th, 2016. Starts off talking about our outstanding fiscal year 2014 audit fees. As per email received from the auditors, substantial amount of outstanding balance for FY14 audit fees are $52,566.93 must be paid before they can release the audited statements. Auditors are working with the station managers to update their management letter and are in the last stages of finishing their audits. Absence of audited statements are holding up negotiations with Empire State Building for the BAI tower rent. Statements are also critical for insurance renewal. Several demands have been made by underwriters. As per the latest email attached, they are requesting audited statements latest by 7/15/16, which is already passed. And then fiscal year 2015 audit can't commence, of course, until the old dues are cleared. And then he had some cash flow concerns. For WPFW, the station's not paid essential services for 8 months and health care for approximately 3 months. I don't know if that's changed. Total outstanding amount as of date is $144,799 for 2016 only. It has exhausted restricted grants against applicable laws and against our CFO's objections in payment of operating expenses and do not have any significant money left in this account. Year-to-date May 2016, statements show a loss of $244,135, which effectively represents the cash shortfall as the station did not have the money to pay its bills. As per the current cash flow situation, it's expected that they may run out of payroll money in July. Not sure how that turned out. unless they hold back payment of essential services like rent, utilities, etc., and keep creating a backlog of payments till the next fund drive. Fact is, they can't make their payroll if they pay essential services, so they're consciously holding back payment of essential services for a long time. This is all helping them. It's also helping them avoid the unavoidable, restructuring their operations so that they can become sustainable. Moving on to WBAI, cash flow is expected to be very tight from July onwards. It's doubtful if the station will be able to make its payroll or other essential services. Station has been lurching from one fund drive to another fund drive, catching up bills as the money comes in, and again becomes delinquent when the money runs out. No credible strategy has been formulated for the last several years to stem the crisis. The Pacifica Radio Archives says here the operating model for PRA is broken. It's heavily dependent upon receiving central services from stations which themselves are struggling to pay their bills. Given right strategies, PRA operations can become self-sufficient and save considerable amount for other stations. KPFA, the station has given notice to the union that it's experiencing financial difficulties and layoffs are imminent. It's planning a mini drive, which is not a good option, says here, but I believe we're about to have a mini drive ourselves. National office finances have been affected very badly, as several stations have failed to pay central services and health care dues. It's currently able to pay only those expenses which are urgent and critical. It's not finding any surplus money to pay for the fiscal year 14 audit fees, and payment for election expenses has been put on hold, at least at the time of this writing. Workload and priorities. Attached is a list of the national office workload and priorities in summary form. Because of the backlog from prior years, there's an extraordinary volume of work for the next several months. All efforts are being made to take care of the priorities. Request from information from members is compiled with possible given time and resources. And the absence of business managers at three stations is making the task extremely difficult and time-consuming for the national office staff. And I think I'll stop there. Are you guys with me?
I'm still here.
I'm sorry, I had myself muted. Yeah, if you could read just that next section, too, on the update on the National Office Finance Staffing, that may underscore how serious it is for the National Office.
Section 7? Oh, there it is. Okay. Now I was making sure that I was avoiding the sections that should be left for executive session. So Section 7 here, they've replaced three staff members from 2015 who did not have the required skills with two new hires. There's one senior accountant and one payroll/office assistant. We've also engaged one temporary help to complete and coordinate the fiscal year 2015 books and audit. This staffing is at least one short of 2015 levels. Salaries offered to the new hires are lower than the comparable levels for last year. There's a critical shortage of one senior accountant who may be highly skilled in Great Plains and FRX reporting and advanced accounting. This has been put on hold as asking salary is quite high. This is creating a serious bottleneck in generating complex reports or performing other advanced accounting functions on a daily basis. WPFW and WBAI accounting has now been transitioned to the national office effective June 1st and is being handled by the current staff. Volume and complexity of work has almost doubled from last year as we are completing fiscal year 14 audit, completing the 2015 books, and keeping fiscal year 16 books current. Also, groundwork is being done to prepare balance sheets on a monthly basis, as effectively only half accounting was done in the past. This has been possible through better skills in the new hires and full capacity utilization. Absence of a skilled HR person is creating serious problems in handling such matters. These are employee-related and time-sensitive. Interim controller is spending extraordinary amount of time to address these issues, which is not proving effective and is not a good use of his time. And then below that talks about some great planes and internal controls issues. His recommendations, focus must shift from cost cuts to revenue growth. We cannot cut our way into prosperity. In the absence of any tangible plan on the table, how to grow the business, Foundation is forced into default options of cost cuts. The IED and WPFW station manager should jointly prepare a 30, 60, and 90-day plan and consult with CFO and present to P&B within 50 days from today with specific details on how to sustain the current operations. IED and WBAI station manager to jointly prepare a 30, 60, and 90-day plan, consult with the CFO and present to the P&B within 15 days from today, same as above. And looks like the same situation for IED and PRA interim director to jointly prepare a 30, 60, and 90-day plan, to consult with the CFO and present it to the PMB within 15 days, with specific details on how to sustain current operations and contingency plans if stations fail to make payment of central services. P&B to authorize the CFO to demand payment of central services from the station where it is 3 months in arrears, in preference over payment of other bills except for payroll and health insurance. Highly recommended that we upgrade Great Plains to the latest version, even if we have to take external financing.
Okay, thank you very much. And, yeah, that was from our chief executive officer, Sam Agarwal, dated July 7th. That was the most recent CFO report. So thank you. Somebody just join us? I heard a ding. You may be muted. Okay. Well, I guess we're open to suggestions. The main purpose, I guess, is to come up with some action items that we can take to improve our financial situation, especially things that would improve revenue or decrease expenses. Does that sound satisfactory? We just open it up to discussion about that.
I have a question.
Who's that?
Bob Young. I have a question.
Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Bob Young. Young. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, Bob.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. I have a question. I listened to this report. I've been reading some other stuff, so rather than get into the intricacies and specifics, when you hear this stuff for the first time, and try to be objective, like if there's somebody listening to this meeting tonight that has never heard this before, this is a very bleak. I got to be honest with you. If this situation goes on for another year, I'd be surprised before it breaks. There's too many broken legs to the table. There's too many things that are just not working. And then, you know, you have a situation where, you know, certain people don't want to come to the meetings or whatever and take liberties with the rights of others in the organization. All this being said, you know, we really need to take a look at this in an objective, business-like manner. And what I mean by that is we can't make pie-in-the-sky things about, oh, this one's going to come up with a 30-day plan. We've been coming up with 30, 60, and 90-day plans for the couple of years that I've been here. It doesn't seem to make much of anything. We just seem to be holding on, but now the strings that we used to hold on to are no longer there. And well, that's all I can say. I mean, I don't see anything getting better at BAI. I see a lot of trouble, and we've had some recent nonsense over there. And we're shortcoming on the money. But even if we had that money, so what? We need to freeze up. We gotta get the funds. We gotta pay the auditors, and I think that's the priority. Based upon everything I've heard, at least that'll give us some positive cash, positive money that can bring in, God willing, if it's still available. And that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got to say. I think that's a good first step. I think the thing beyond that is a skill beyond our level. That's what I see.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to remind everybody, actually I forgot to mention this, anybody listening on the web stream, either live during this meeting or later, can email us suggestions or questions by emailing to questions for PNB@gmail.com. That's questions with an S at the end, forpnb@gmail.com. And I'll try to remember to announce that later too. Okay, well, I guess the floor is open for suggestions. And thank you, Bob, for your comments.
Thank you.
This is Jonathan from PFK. I agree with his comments. I mean, we've been coming up with plans for a while. The problem is the implementation of our plans. We've had a lot of good and bad plans over the years, and most of them are executed rather poorly. But you can't move forward without a plan. Right now I'm wondering when was the last time any of current management came up with a 30, 60, or 90-day plan? They were also supposed to, I mean, at least as recently as that writing, I believe it was before that. Do we know if the IED has been working with anyone to come up with these plans, if anything's come up?
Anyone?
No.
I'll just say I remember back in, I believe, March, we were told on the PNB meeting that WBAI and WPFW's management were supposed to come up with those sort of plans within 6 weeks, but we haven't seen them.
Well, at BAI, we see, this is Bob Young, at BAI, there seems to be a problem with maybe management not being on the job enough time to come up with the plan. So, I mean, rumor has it, I'm not going to say that it's true or it's not true, but there's a rumor out there that management isn't around as much as it should be. So,
hi, Jan Goodman, I'm just joining you.
Okay, Jan. Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Doing the job. If the person's there and I'm fulfilling the nuts and bolts part of the job, how are they going to be able to come up with a plan to do anything to help out? I see the situation there is unraveling a little bit regarding management in the station. I mean, stuff that I'm privy to in executive session I can mention, I don't want to mention it in public. But rumor has it that management hasn't been around enough to do the things they're supposed to do. They might come up with a plan. We got to have some radical type of solutions here if anything's going to work. What do we call it? It's it's like in gambling, trading dollars. Like you win a little, you lose a little. Win a little, but at the end of the day, you got nothing. That's what we got. We got nothing. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, let me throw out a topic that I know has been suggested by several people. When we collected the suggestions at our June 26th meeting, the special meeting on that, it was related to programming. A lot of people suggested that we need better programming or we need to reverse programming changes that had negative effects or things like that. So would anybody else comment on that sort of topic?
And any
specifics?
This is Grace. I'd like to comment on that.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay, at KPFK, there have been some programming changes in the last year that we estimate with, we've crunched the numbers, and the programming changes have depressed the income by about $140,000. So if those simple programming changes were reversed, we could see a boost of about $140,000 to $150,000 in improved income. Across the network, there has been a decline in listenership for quite a few years. And the thing to do about that is to improve the programming. So there are several ways that you can improve the programming. The one that costs nothing and that will get you the most effect is by figuring out which shows are the most popular, because shows are not about the same in popularity. So, for instance, somebody gave us some Arbitron or Nielsen figures for some of our most popular shows. So our most popular show has an average of 13,500 listeners an hour. The next most popular show has around 1,500 listeners an hour. So you see that there's an incredible differential between very popular shows and then less popular shows. It's almost a 10 times difference. So if you find on the grids the shows that are extremely popular, the simplest thing to do to improve your listenership is to repeat those programs. It costs nothing, and it will almost certainly boost the listenership. That's one thing that can be done. Then, identifying the shows across the network that have the highest listenership, and then seeing if they might be appropriate at other stations, would be another way, without it costing anything, improve listenership. The other thing is we have a wealth of programming available to us through the affiliate network. We can simply request the use of programming that's very popular that are affiliates. It would cost nothing to do that, most likely. And we would see an improvement in the quality of our programming, and there will be an improvement in income that is generated by that. So there are some suggestions that I'm throwing out.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Who else?
Real quickly, Bill, this is Jonathan from KPFK again.
I strongly
agree with what Grace has said. And in addition to the cash flow, the loyalty with the listeners, they pledge for something and then the shows aren't on the air. And getting the listeners their premiums when they order them in a more timely fashion helps with the following fund drive. But our revenue streams at KPFK have been hit in the way she's described, and I would say it's possible that she's even understating it.
Thank you. Now, which stations are having problems with delivering premiums? I take it yours still is. Is that right, Jonathan, KPFK?
Yeah.
I know there was a problem at WBI and WPFW. Have those been resolved? Does anybody know?
Okay.
Well, I've heard they have not been resolved, but I'm not sure. Okay. Okay, well, let me just reflect real briefly on the affiliate thing. Yeah, we actually, KPFT, we have several shows that are produced by some of our affiliates, and they are good programs. One thing it does, sometimes they're a little hard to get donations during fund drive, but when we've had the host of the show do some pitching for us, even recorded pitching, it really increased the donations. So there's definitely ways we could make that work. So something to think about. Or have live pitching with the shows the way NPR does with their programs, to have live local pitching with the syndicated shows. Other suggestions on anything? I mean, if you want to keep talking about programming for a while, we can do that. But if you want to move on to something else, that's okay, too.
Bob, you have a question?
Yeah, Bob.
Some of these are very nice ideas. I got to be honest with you. You know, it's getting back to what I said before about, you know, smart business solutions. Grace, by the way, excellent. Especially, I love the second one, you know. I think the implementation of the ideas is where the problem lies. I mean, these are fantastic ideas, and I've heard other good ideas in the past. But the implementation always seems to be a bridge too far, and that's what causes all these problems. So, I mean, I would love to entertain at some point tonight a conversation about new ways to try to implement some of these cost-saving measures that don't cost us any money either, and how to actually, if we just focused on one, how we can make that one happen and what would need to be done to make that happen. Because idea on paper is great, but if it don't take place, then it's just an idea on paper. And Grace does some great ideas over there, so I'd like to discuss especially the second one a little further.
Well, go ahead. If you have specific suggestions, that's what we'd like to come up with.
Well, my thing is, okay, so let's suppose we have, let's continue on the conversation, because I guess that's how we could build it. I mean, we have a situation where you have some very popular shows. Now, in New York, you know, I know we have a couple of shows that are real, you know, headbangers. People love them. I don't know what the popular shows are where we are in L.A. or in Berkeley or in Texas. I have no idea. Can we maybe list the top two or three shows? And Sean, maybe you could help out for BAI, maybe the top five shows. Can we, like, at least start with some specifics and say, okay, so, like, here's a list of 15 or 20 shows, specific or wide, that bring in the most money. They bring in 70-80% of the money. Well, how can we best use them? I think the first step would be to compile a list of what those shows are.
Let me ask you, at KPFT, for every fund drive, we have, our development director compiles during the fund drive a list of how many new pledges, how many old pledges, you know, to returning members, how many web pledges, and dollar amounts for each individual show. Do you do that at your station or at the other stations?
Sean?
Oh, Sean, go ahead.
No, I'm asking Sean. Sean, are you still on?
I'm still here.
Can answer it better than me. You give it your best shot.
I'm not aware of BAI having that breakdown in such detail.
That's sad. All right, but based upon what you think you know, forget about, you know, anything that, you know, you've been there a while, okay, like, would you say that Gary Knoll's show is one of the top shows from the station? Even if you don't want to say it, would you say that that's true?
I would say he has a large following in terms of bringing in money and having a large listenership. Mm-hmm. I would also say that Democracy Now! Has that.
Yes.
There are some smaller shows that do well also. Smaller in terms of, you know, that may not be known across the network, but do well for WBAI in terms of bringing in finances, bringing in money, and seem to have a lot of people listening. That would be Science, Health, and Healing, Dr. Ali's show. My mind is blanking at the moment on the other, you know, shows that I could say do well. But, you know, those three come to mind right off the top of my head.
Okay, so...
Well, maybe we should share best practices.
What do you mean?
Well, like, whatever you do that works, and if we have the way we collect that information and compile it, that would help at other stations to identify the...
You list the top shows, Bill. Start with
okay.
That. That's what you were saying. And rather than, we can do that, that's another thing. But so we got three shows for BAI, and I would say, to be honest with you, it's probably 50% of what's going on. So, Grace, Bill, what's going on in your stations? I mean, what are the top shows?
I look at our compilation, but I would I don't know, one of several of them are music shows. Democracy Now is still very popular, although it doesn't bring as much money as it used to by far. And we have several other popular shows. I mean, yeah, we probably should look at the top 10 or 20 even. But the top few would be certainly good for sharing, as Grace was talking about.
I mean, it's all about the money here. We're not looking to say this show stinks or that show is only as a whatever. We're looking to make money, so we have to just divorce ourselves from our personal love of some shows or, you know, trying to respect the show. When we have to be totally objective, and that doesn't mean that those shows are going to be gone or even do something. We're saying, well, what is the best shows that we can share? And at least we can get behind the program and say, hey, look, you know, these are our top 10 shows, Pacifica-wide. We need to have these shows on every station to try to drive as much revenue. And that should be a specific proposal. This is a business-oriented decision. It has nothing to do with personal opinion.
Grace, thank
you. Are you still there?
Jan here.
Jan.
Okay, Jan.
So one of the things that I'm thinking about and that is always a big concern is the issue of knocking people off the air. You know, that's where people go crazy. Like, who are you going to take off to put anybody on? It could be the person with, you know, 10 people listening, but still, you know, that people are, you know, it's hard to knock somebody off. So one of the suggestions could be that, you know, that we insert these programs like one day a month, like the first Friday or the, you know, whatever, that we, you know, introduce them maybe into a good time slot, maybe into not the best time slot, but that we try introducing them in a, you know, like every other Friday or the first Friday or something like that, so that people don't go crazy. And I might say that we should also be thinking about recommending in general, and this is something maybe the PNB could consider as a policy, or, you know, at least there is something, I don't know. But, you know, general managers might want to consider when they're making program changes to ease into them by having new programs come on for, you know, like not more than twice a month or once a week or something like that, so that if it's successful, still know it's successful. You know, we should have some ways of measuring that. And if it's not successful, you haven't really screwed everybody up and made everybody furious and lost a bunch of listeners. Just a thought. Just some thoughts. How to introduce these new concepts and shows.
Oh, sorry, I was muted again. Let me read one of the emailed comments. It kind of relates to something that I believe Grace was talking about. I'll just read it. Why would you continue to support a GM and staff at KPFK that actively targets the strongest cultural and financial components of the station? Their programming decisions have cost KPFK thousands and thousands of lost pledge drive revenue, but by putting Roy of Hollywood's three-decade success story into the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. time slot, this is not good policy or planning. So just looking at the specifics, that's one particular program. Anybody know about how much money we're talking about there?
Yes. Jan, we're talking
Jan?
About for Roy, I believe something like at least $100,000 a year net loss.
Wow.
Not him in his time slot.
Just that one show.
Just that one show.
Okay. Let me read another.
That was a figure that I remember hearing. It might be actually more than that.
Okay. Well, that's one kind of specific program that we want to look at. Okay.
And Roy's program, what he does is he plays a number of other programs. So it's not just him droning on and on for 6 hours or 5 hours. He plays like, I think at one point, I believe he played Gary Null, he played Tom Hartman, he played, you know, a number of different shows on his air. So it's not just him.
Do you think that show would work at other stations in the same time slot?
I bet it would. I mean, if you have dead air from, you know, midnight to 5 a.m. or something, it would probably be great.
Okay.
You know, if you're not getting anybody, why not try it? What is the air like on KPFT? In that time,
we get very little donations. It's really low every night.
After
midnight.
Probably be easy to just pick it up off the, you know. And even at this point, when he's only broadcasting 2 or 3 hours a night, you could pick up, like, from the night before, whatever he broadcast, and broadcast it from midnight to 3 or something.
Okay. Anybody from other stations have any ideas about that? How are your late night shows doing money wise?
Anybody
WBAI?
From WBAI there? Is it just me and Bill on the phone now?
No, I'm here.
We have several of us. Well, let me just move on to another question or comment. I'm not sure anybody can answer this exactly, but this is something that people emailed in. And again, anybody listening on the stream can email us questions or comments or suggestions by mailing to questions with an S at the end, FORPNB, that's questions for PNB, @gmail.com. And I don't know if I have time to get to all of them, but this is another one. This is, aside from the sister stations, many affiliate and low-power FM stations rely on audio port to share content. To what extent might Pacifica's financial crisis affect AudioPort? I assume it is represented as a line item on some expense report. The potential loss of licenses, whole stations, and the Pacifica archives have been well discussed, but whether AudioPort, it is an unsung resource amongst affiliates. A whole lot of people could be affected if it were to go dark. Anybody want to comment on that?
AudioPort, I believe, is maintained in the able hands of Otis McClay, along with our other KPFTX stuff. And I'm not really sure how that works out. I believe that's part of what our central services pays for.
Yeah, I think that's right. The affiliates are also, they're supposed to pay dues and... I think they're self-supporting, but some of the money may be tapped to pay for other problems right now. I'm not sure. So, I mean, everything is potentially at risk. Let me migrate into another topic, if that's okay, because I know this has been on everybody's mind, is what happens if we go into bankruptcy? That could affect AudioPort. It could affect a lot of our individual stations, rather. But as our CFO was talking about in his CFO report, he didn't mention bankruptcy per se, but I'm not sure what happens when a station can't make payroll and they can't borrow it from another station. That's what's been happening. They've been borrowing it, but there's really not much spare money floating around anywhere in Pacifica. And I know WBI and WPFW have had a real problem having to borrow money to make payroll several times. Would anybody like to comment on what happens if that occurs?
This is Grace. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
Oh, good. All right. Well, a number of years ago, I think it was 2008 or 2009, Susan Young from KPFT, who was a director at that time, persuaded the National Board to have part of a National Board meeting dedicated to what would happen if we went into bankruptcy. And so we had two bankruptcy attorneys and John Kriegler, our FCC and CPB attorney, who is on retainer for the foundation. And they explained that bankruptcy is very, very, very expensive. When you go into bankruptcy, what happens is the trustee will almost definitely hire a fleet of accountants to straighten out the books. And then there are lawyers that get hired. It's extremely expensive. And in order to pay for it, assets will be sold. So that's what happens if you go into, according to this tutorial that we were given by experts in those fields. So it would be much better if we could fix ourselves. I think we really need turnaround management, puttering around the edges and doing things in a gradual way. It's not going to hack it at this point. We're in disaster financially. And I want to say something else, which is controversial, but it's my opinion. I'm only talking for myself. This foundation has been declining. The listenership has been declining, and the net and gross incomes have been declining over a number of years, many years, at least 10 years. Now, a chart was done years ago of this decline, and the revenue and the listenership graphs, lines on the graph, were completely parallel. So as your listenership declines, revenue declines. So that's one thing. But there's only been one consistent element in those years, and that is our greatest strength and our greatest weakness, and that's our paid and unpaid programmers. I'll tell you why I believe this. Because governance has been almost completely ineffective, even though I've been part of it, for the last 10 years. Also, management has come and gone. Management has not been effective. The one element that's been stable and has ruled the roost in Pacifica are the programmers, who are not organized particularly, but they have a sense if anything is done to improve the programming, to change the programming, the programmers really get upset. There's probably 200 programmers and their helpers at every station, and they besiege the program directors, they besiege the board, and they besiege the general managers until it's just torment to make any kind of programming changes or improvements. There is never, has, to my knowledge, only rarely, if ever, been evaluation of programming. It's just sort of one of the third rail of Pacifica. So the only consistent element has been that element. Boards have come and gone. Management has come and gone. So now I am saying that this is the absolute strength of Pacifica. Our unique programming and our wonderful programmers are our biggest plus. But they also, as far as I can tell, have worked to keep the grids frozen. And with frozen grids that are becoming more and more moribund, we have to improve the listenership, and it can't be done without programming improvement.
Right.
Okay, thank you. And I'll say, you know, I was asking the question about bankruptcy because I know people have been talking about it. I certainly do not advocate it. I think we should avoid it wherever possible. And when you were talking about, Grace, about selling assets, just for anybody that's not clear what that means, if we were into bankruptcy and they had to sell assets to pay off creditors, what would that mean?
That means selling the KPFK building, selling the KPFA building, selling the other real estate Pacifica owns up at Berkeley, selling the KPFT building. Those are the most liquid assets that Pacifica has. There's nothing else. Then after that, it would be selling a signal or two. But selling a signal, which I am not advocating any of this, this is not what I would put forward as a solution. with the possibility. I think we should explore the possibility of selling the two not well utilized pieces of property in Berkeley. That's a possibility. I think that should be explored. However, selling a signal, which I am not suggesting, would be very much more complex and take a lot more time to do. So what would a bankruptcy attorney, I'm sorry, a trustee, bankruptcy trustee do most likely? Sell the buildings. Then we're left with, because they're the most liquid assets. It would be very difficult to mortgage them without fixing our finances. We have to fix our books first.
Right.
But property can always be sold, you know. So
okay.
That's what would probably be done in bankruptcy. And that might be what would need to be done by us.
Right.
If they're, you know, eventually. And I'm speaking for some current or future board of the foundation. Unless other measures are taken to turn the foundation around. And I don't think we should pussyfoot around things like programming improvement. Shows that have almost zero listenership need to be at least reduced in airtime. You can do it. You can reduce a show from 1 hour to a half hour. It's a little bit of a pain in the neck, but it can be done. Or from 1 hour a week to 1 hour every other week. But shows that are not bringing in any income, that have very, very low listenership, we cannot afford them any longer. We need to put front and center the shows that are the most bringing in the most listeners, the most membership, and the most money. And that conform to the Pacifica mission. We should never forget that. We shouldn't put on stuff that's, we don't want Kim Kardashian on, in other words.
Okay.
Unless she's, you know, somehow conforming to the mission.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I'll just remind everybody that, you know, that's the kind of thing why we really do need to get together and work together so we don't have to start selling assets, as Grace was talking about. And we may have to make some other choices we'd rather not make, like take off some of the shows that we like but nobody else is listening to or they're at least not, are not willing to support. Let me read something else that's kind of related that somebody emailed in. Again, this is to the questionsforpnb@gmail.com that any of you can email to questions with an S at the end, forpnb@gmail.com. This was about, it was from somebody from KPFA. They're talking about their CAB and LSB have developed a resolution for the PNB, and it's been presented to the Pacifica Programming Committee, and it's for expansion and coordination of Pacifica's news and public affairs program network. And maybe that would kind of fit in with what Grace is talking about. I'm not sure. I won't read all the whereases unless somebody wants to hear them, but the nitty-gritty is, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board, now this is just proposed so far, directs the Pacifica Programming Committee to create a Pacifica News and Public Affairs Programming Task Force to develop and implement plans for coordinating and expanding the Pacifica programming network at this urgent time. The task force may solicit input from and assign tasks to programmers, staff, volunteers, interns, community advisory board members, LSB members, and other representatives from the Pacifica Foundation, stations, and affiliates who have the potential and interest in actively contributing to this initiative. And it talks about four areas of focus. Could be review programming, expand the use of audio port, identify and make available new cost-effective independent news sources, and provide Pacifica News and Public Affairs programmers social media platforms to access multimedia segments. And there's more for each of those details. But would something like this fit in with what you're saying, Grace, or anybody else want to comment on that?
Well, you know, we've been meetings and task force and committee to death. And if you look at the track record of success in fixing Pacifica, you're not going to find it in task forces, endless meetings, or anything like that. I mean, something has to be done. We have to we have to get to it. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. We have what we are giving to the public is programming. The public will support us to the degree that they enjoy and are educated by and uplifted by our programming. That's the gift that we give our listeners and the community at large, and they respond by keeping us alive financially. And that just needs to be done. So maybe there can be a task force, but I am somewhat at this point allergic to endless meetings, because I think that the meetings have been used to bog us down rather than to move us forward to some degree.
Okay, I think you get comments from other people. Yeah, other people about the idea of whether it's a task force or not, about doing more with Pacifica News and Public Affairs and affiliates and working together. Is that possible,
Bill,
or should
quickly,
we try to do that?
If I may,
yeah,
Bill, real quickly, this is John from KBFK. Of course, it's a great idea to expand our news programming and current affairs programming, but like Gray said, great solutions don't come from governance. Typically, in my experience, and I've been here for over 13 years, a show that has very low listenership, has very low numbers in the fund drive, if they even participate in the fund drive, will have a lot of influence in governance. There are shows right now that while they receive virtually no listener support, you know, they'll have collectively with 20 or 30 voters in the elections. They are more focused on creating voters than listeners, and that, I mean, you can only blame on the existence of governance itself. If anybody has cable television, if you turn it on today or tomorrow, at some point you're going to run across Michio Kaku on the Science Channel, on the History Channel, on some channel. He's one of the most recognizable scientists alive today. We can carry his show for free on all five stations, but there's no room for him on the grid, because we have too many shows that nobody wants to listen to who have too much power, so much power that you can never take them off the air without a movement being started by, you know, 20 people, which is about double their listenership. That's the situation that I see at KPFK constantly.
Okay, thank you. Other comments and anything else about programming, about how to improve our programming in order to get more listeners and money especially?
Bob Young from BAI again.
Bob?
I want to agree with both the people that just spoke. But I want to also say, and this is getting back to what I'm saying, and listen, let me just state for the record that I've gone out of business twice, okay? I know what it feels like. I've watched a company that I built, it took me 17 years with another guy. I watched it fall piece by piece, and then it came apart like a tidal wave. And I saw the tears, and I saw the suffering. So unless anybody here has been through that, okay, I suggest you listen to the seriousness in the tone of my voice, okay, because this is not a game. To some people in Pacifica, this is a game. This is not a game. We have a business that is involved in a society that's a business-oriented society. How we survived as long as we did is beyond my wildest imagination. I have no idea. But if we don't do what has just been discussed, if we don't turn around and forget these task forces, okay, this is just more bullshit. That's all it is. It's more nonsense. It's more, oh, this one is, oh, this one that, oh, we don't have a quorum, oh, this and that. By the time this thing gets done in this environment, in the Pacifica political environment, absolutely nothing will happen. Because it's all about, you see, this whole thing here is just people all have their little places in Pacifica, and they've got their own little power trips. And they've been around, and they have relationships, and this might be with their retirement, and they've got nothing else going on with their life. And it's this endless cycle of on and on and on. Unless you stop right now and take one concrete suggestion and force its implementation and work hard to do that, you can have all the meetings you want. And guess what? We're going to have a meeting a year from now, and we're going to say, oh, man, I wish we had done this, or we should have done that. I agree with Grace. The day of task forces are over. the day of all this nonsense is over. Okay, like I said, I've been there. So anybody on this call ever go out of business before besides me? I'd like to know. None. Okay, so therefore listen to what I have to say. Okay, it hurts, and it's not going to be pleasant. And all of this is what, listen, you think you're invincible. We're not. We're very fallible, and it can happen overnight. A certain economic instance can happen. Like in our case, one time, one bank got sold to another bank and called the notes and the receivables, and it spiraled out of control. And 6 months later, we're out of business. Everything. I couldn't afford to have a third child. That's what happens. And we have people that depend on us for a living. We have people that depend upon us for our Pacifica mission. And we owe it to them, and we owe it to the future to make the proper decisions now. And I completely agree with everything Gray says. And I wish we'd move on to that and stop trying to spread do this one thinks this or this one thinks that. If you don't think we should have a concrete solution or try to come up with a concrete solution, and if that's not the future of what Pacifica is and what we're trying to do as a group, I'm going to just turn on the convention because I don't need any more of this. It doesn't work for me. I'm trying to help out. So I think we really need to take one concrete suggestion, one thing Grace said, one thing somebody has here tonight. Instead of, like, spreading this around, let's get something done. Otherwise, guess what? There's a meeting, boom, another meeting, that's it. You don't have the time. We really don't have the time. I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Well, let me read a couple other comments that people have emailed in, and they're kind of related to this. These are from different people, but they're kind of related. Why is the board not responsible for mismanagement with funding priorities? How can they explain not completing audits, which make it so that they lose FCC, I think it means CPB funding, and other mismanagement decisions? And then from somebody else, there are some ideas about increasing income by moving popular programs around the network and making sure premiums are delivered in a timely manner. But my question is, who will make those decisions, and who will be responsible for implementing them? How can the PNB guarantee that someone has the authority to make decisions and hold people accountable for following through on the decisions made? What are some ways to increase accountability and or have someone who is able to make decisions and have them carried out? Isn't that what needs to be addressed? And then one other kind of related question is that, or comment is that, we need a turnaround plan. All focus should be on the management to come up with a realistic plan if they seriously want to save Pacifica. So would anybody like to comment on any of that?